Someone asked me this week with Friends and Family Day if I was bringing my A game, and I said no. I said, but I am bringing my A topic, which is a sermon on Jesus, because you just don't get any better than a sermon on Jesus. You can't overbrag, overhype, or over-exaggerate just how amazing Jesus is and everything that he did for me and everything he did for you. I'm always amazed. Sometimes we use hyperboles. Sometimes it's called exaggeration. Think about this for a second. I was thinking this week of all the things that we say that are a little silly when we over-exaggerate. I used to tell my mom, I am absolutely starving to death. Well, I really wasn't starving to death. And then she'd say something about, let me make you a sandwich. Well, that's like the least favorite on my list of anything to eat. And then I would go, no, I'm not that hungry. And so sometimes you're not as starving as you think that you are. I've heard people say, I'm so hungry I could eat a horse. You ever heard that before? How about she's as old as the hills? You know, that's kind of over-exaggerating, right? Because the hills are, they're a little older than whoever she is. I heard somebody say recently, I walked 1,000,000 miles to get here. Well, I honestly doubt that, right? Have you heard somebody say the phrase, she can hear a pin drop from 1 mile away? Actually, she can't, okay? Or somebody go, I died of embarrassment. They actually did not. You hear people saying sometimes, especially in services, right? I'm freezing to death, right? Because the air conditioner is on. You're not going to freeze to death. And so we always use these things that are just kind of exaggerating phrases, kind of blow things out of proportion. But you can over-exaggerate food. You can over-exaggerate how big the fish really was. But you cannot over-exaggerate just how awesome Jesus is. It just can't be done. You can just spend all day long talking about how amazing Jesus is, and you're not over-exaggerating that topic. So I want to share with you this morning 6 simple, awesome things about who Jesus is. So hopefully you leave here today going, man, he is just incredible. And because on a friend's day, if there was ever a friend that we needed, this Jesus should be our best friend. So let's look at 6 things, all right? Number one, right off the bat, that I love about Jesus, makes him so awesome, is he is accessible. He is accessible. Now, I want you to think for a second before we read that text up there about what that means. Think about all the people in the world that you do not have access to. And there are a lot. People in power, people in position, famous people. You can't pick up a phone and just call and talk to a doctor generally or someone else. You have to go through different stages to get to somebody, to finally see somebody that you want to see. But there are some people in this world that if you, no matter how badly you wanted to meet them, you're not going to get to meet them. It's just not going to happen. I had a young man that grew up in my youth group named John Henderson. I'd known John since he was this big. Ornery little stink, went off to college, made something of himself, became a CEO at a hospital. And I remember one time being in the town where he was working, I thought, I'm going to run by and see John. And I zipped in and walked up to the little area where the lady was answering the phone and said, I'd like to see John Henderson. Is he back here? And she said, well, number one, he is, but what do you want? Who are you? And I don't know if you'll get to see him or not. And I got screened right there at the desk. And I remember thinking to myself, this is John Henderson. I know him, you know? But she was like, "This, you don't get to see John Henderson unless John Henderson says you get to see John Henderson." And a few minutes later, John Henderson came out and visited with me. I remember that. But I just remember thinking, wow, you know, in this world, sometimes you get screened at the front desk, right? So if you want to talk to God, if you want to spend some time talking to Jesus, notice this for a second. Look at the text on here, Romans chapter 5, verse 2. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's that accessibility, right? Through whom we have gained access by faith. We now have connection into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope and the glory of God. We have access. And that just blows me away sometimes to think that I can bow my head and the second that I start talking, I have the Lord's ear. That is just incredible to me. That he stops to listen. He knows who I am. He doesn't put me on hold and say, can you give me a few minutes? I'm finishing some stuff up and then I'll have time for you. We have a Savior who is accessible, and he makes God accessible to us. It is absolutely amazing to think what Jesus does for us when it comes to making him accessible. Can you imagine? The roof tore open when they were bringing the guy down that was paralyzed to Jesus. I mean, he wasn't accessible because they didn't have enough room to get him in. But they dropped that bed down, and notice what Jesus doesn't say anywhere in the text. This is not a good time. Can you come back tomorrow at 1? Doesn't say it. The woman who reached out and touched the hem of his garment, she didn't have an appointment with Jesus, and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Remember that? And then he calls her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." Jesus is accessible, and I love that about him. I can have connection with him. You can have connection with him, and that's absolutely incredible. The second thing that stands out to me, and it also is an A, is he's approachable. He's approachable. I heard a young lady one time say, "Oh, if I met that person, I'd just die." You know, that another one of those hyperbole over-exaggerates. Jesus is approachable. You can come to him. In fact, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and 16 says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest," that's Jesus, "who has gone through the heavenly realms, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence." Have you ever thought about that? You can now approach. Remember the story of Queen Esther? She wanted to go see the king, and she said, "He hadn't called for me in months. And if I go before him and he doesn't want to see me, if he doesn't raise his scepter that I'm accepted by him, they're going to take my life, because you don't just walk in before the king." And if you remember the story, he did raise his scepter and he was glad to see her. But here's God, the creator of the world. Here's Jesus, his son, who created the world, and you can walk in to their throne room and have a discussion, to see them, to have their ear, that they're paying attention. They are, and he is, absolutely approachable. I love that. You know, I want to be approachable, but there are times in our life, and you want to be approachable, there are times in our life we get tired, right? Do you ever get tired? Usually by Sunday afternoon about 2, when I've done 2 services and met 100 people or more that I'd not met yet, and I'm trying to learn names, I want to just go sit down for a little while and let my brain just kind of rest for a second. And it's just like, "Oh, please don't call and don't text, or give me an hour just to rest." God doesn't ever get there. He doesn't ever go, "Hey, I'm exhausted from people." I love the story in Mark chapter 1 where a whole town of people shows up at Peter's house where his mother-in-law has been sick, and Jesus, this is nighttime, and they all come. They've heard Jesus is there, and they've all come for Jesus to heal the lame, heal the sick, cast out demons. And you know what Jesus does? He does it that night. He doesn't send them all away and go, "Hey, this is not a good time for me." He is approachable, and I love that about Jesus. Look at the third thing on your list. I hope you're taking notes as we go. He's attentive. He is attentive. You have his ear. Now, we mentioned that a while ago, but I really want you to note for a second that I love the fact that when you speak, he is listening. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "Because he himself suffered, when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." That word "help" there in the original language means he can hear our cry when we cry out. He is listening. You ever notice a mama can hear her kids when they holler out? I remember one time at a park, we were at a church event, and we were out there, and there were tons of people out there, and I was sitting there cooking burgers, and Lee said, "Hey, I think your son needs you." I couldn't hear my son out there. There were kids everywhere hollering, "Dad." I didn't know which dad they were talking to, but my wife's ear was tuned to those kids. Does that make sense? Because that's what mamas do. Jesus' ear is tuned to your voice, that when you speak, when you cry out for help, he's listening. He is actually paying attention. Sometimes we as parents have selective hearing. We do. You know, sometimes when the little ones have asked mom too many times, it's just kind of like you can tune them out. I remember my mom, I might say mom two or three times. She's seven kids. You know, I could get to her tiredness, right? And every now and then I'd call her by her first name and she'd look at me and like, oh, were you talking to me? Because we do that. There are times where I'm not paying attention. I remember Lee hitting me on the arm one time going, are you going to answer him? My son was in the room. I said, I didn't even know he's talking to me. But Jesus doesn't do that. You will never hear Jesus go, I am so sorry, I was not paying attention. Can you repeat that? You have his ear. He's attentive. And I like that. I've got a Savior that hears. And I think that is absolutely perfect. Look at number four on your list. He is loving. He is loving. He's not just loving. This is not a ooshy-gooshy love. This is a I want you in my family love. This is a I love you as my kids, my brother and my sister. This is blood love that says I love you. Romans chapter 8, 37 through 39. I am convinced that neither life nor death nor angels nor demons nor present nor future nor any powers, height or depth or anything in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love that is in God that comes through Christ Jesus our Lord. That's incredible. That's a verse right there that just ought to be underlined in every Bible. You know, don't ever doubt God's love for you. Don't ever doubt Jesus' love for you. He treats you as family. Maybe one of the greatest theological statements that's ever been muttered outside anything you find in your own Bible are the words, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You are family. You are loved by him. Several years ago when my boys were young, we were in Amarillo, and when you come from a small town, which we were working in, when you go to a big town like Lubbock or Amarillo, you go eat someplace you haven't been, right? You don't eat someplace, the same place you've already been in the little town. So we went to Cheddar's. We got there, and it was a Friday night, and it was busy, and there was a 45-minute wait. And we kind of looked at each other because our kids were hungry and they were small. And I said, well, if we go somewhere else, there's going to be the same wait. Let's just sit down. And so we sit down and there's just this big crowd of people waiting to get in. When all of a sudden I look up and I see a guy coming through the crowd that I know by the name of Chris. And I had been Chris's minister for a while. I'd done his mother and his grandmother's funeral service. And I looked up and I said, Chris, great to see you. What are you doing here? He said, I'm the manager at this restaurant. He said, why are you here? And I said, oh, I'm here to eat. And he said, no, why are you sitting out here? And I said, because there's a 45-minute wait at your restaurant, you know? And he goes, your family, come on. And he marched us. I felt bad. I put my eyes down. He marched us past all them other people that were just waiting. We skipped the line and went in. And he said it about three times, your family. And he set us at a table in the back. And the waitress comes over and said, hey, I heard you're Chris's family, and we're going to take good care of y'all tonight. And I mean, we just had the most special treatment. Chris checked in on us two or three times. And it was just amazing to feel like we were somebody special that night, right? When the bill came at the end, I remember asking the lady, I said, hey, we're done. Can we have our ticket? She said, Chris covered your bill. My young son, who was about 12 at the time, said, Dad, I should have ordered a steak. I said, maybe that's why he didn't tell us he was going to pay for supper. But I just remember feeling like royalty. Can I remind you what the Bible teaches about who you are in God's family? You are royalty. You're part of the family. Someday you're going to be very humbled when you walk into heaven. You're going to be very humbled and thankful to be there, and you're going to be marched right past all these people to have your seat at a table that's been prepared for you, because you're not just some little beggar who barely squeaked through. You're part of the family. You're loved, and I love that, and I love that the Bible teaches that. That we just have so much and Jesus is so good to us. And no wonder I want him to be my best friend. Look at number five. He provides me identity. I am somebody. He provides me identity. God calls us his workmanship, or your Bible may say masterpiece. For in Christ Jesus, we are God's masterpiece. Do you understand what that means? It goes back to being loved and special and family. You are the pride of God's creation. I don't know if you realize that. Dr. Martin this morning said, you see this morning's sunrise. And I said, I didn't. I got here too early and I missed it. I love sunrises. They are gorgeous. Not a lot of people get to see them because a lot of folks sleep in. They miss out on some of the prettiest parts of the day. He said, oh, it was just glowing red back there. And I love sunrises. But I want you to think for a second. You look at those and you go, oh, God's so good. Look at this beautiful mass. I don't know how many times I've drank coffee in the morning, looked out the window and said, oh, God, that's a pretty one. That is beautiful. Well done. And yet, the sunrise is not, it's not the workmanship. It is not the masterpiece of God's creation. It's not the earth, it's you. And I wonder sometimes if sunrises see us and go, oh, look at him, look at her. Oh, God did awesome on this one. Because you are created to be God's masterpiece. You may not feel like that, but God sits back and goes, look what I did. And the Bible teaches us that we have that identity in God. Now, you may be going, hey, I am so far from perfect. I don't feel like a masterpiece. Thankfully, if I can make you feel any better, in Philippians, it tells you God's not done with you. He is working to make you into the image of his son. God's not done with you. So be patient with yourself. Because God's over here going, I'm working on it. And you're going, hey, you know, God's going, I'm not done. It's going to look really good by the time it's done. But you are God's workmanship, his masterpiece, absolutely amazing. You have identity. He knows you by name. Look at the last one. He provides salvation. Nobody else can do this. The one thing you need that you can't do. We were talking about being a new dad a while ago. I love that, didn't you? Greatest thing, being a new dad, and how helpless those babies are. You know how helpless you are when it comes to your own salvation? As helpless as a newborn baby. Can't do anything for yourself. You got to have outside help, and that outside help is Jesus. He provides salvation. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. It is only through Jesus Christ that you and I have salvation. And he says, I give that. I provide that. I love John chapter 10, verse 28. If you're taking notes, you need to write that one down. That says that Jesus provides the sheep eternal life. I give eternal life. Nobody else can give that but Jesus. Why would you not want him to be your best friend? He and only he can give eternal life. My friend Duke, Thursday, I got to get down in the water with him in a baptistry. And he confessed Jesus as Lord, and I baptized him. And welcomed him to part of God's family as he gave his life to Christ. As he accepted Jesus as his best friend. I need his outside help. Man, it never gets old watching people give their life to Jesus. We could go on and on. I gave you six things today. We could have done 30. We could have done 40. We could have gone on and on and on with things that Jesus does. But we're going to stop right there. I want to remind you, especially if you're visiting, we're so glad you're here today. Thank you for being a part of our Friends Day. And I want to remind you right back there in the corner after services, swing by there and pick up one of those mugs or there's also a little tumbler back there, a water bottle for the kids if they want one. We are honored that you're here. Hope you filled out that little card so we can know who you are. That's on the front cover of your bulletin. But most importantly, just want you to know that out of all the friends you have in this world, there is no better friend than Jesus. And you can't over-exaggerate just how incredible he is. And when you're ever going to get a chance to speak to a bunch of people and a bunch of visitors and a bunch of friends and a bunch of family, if there was any topic that would ever come up that you needed to discuss, it's not politics. It's not what's going on in the world. It's a topic of Jesus, who is absolutely incredible and awesome. in everything that he does. We're going to sing an invitation at this time, a song. And if you're here this morning and we pray for you, we'd encourage you to come and share that with us. Or you can catch us after services. We'd be happy to pray with you. Maybe Jesus has not, you've not officially made Jesus your best friend. You've never confessed him as Lord and been baptized. Today's a good day to do that. Or if you have questions about that, we'd love to help answer some of those. But if you have a need we can help you with today, would you come as we stand and sing this song?